Let your name be glorified by the progress that will be made in the lives of your people as a result of this word that is coming for today, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. If you remember, up till last week, we were speaking about doing the work of God. And today, I want to go on to something a bit, it's actually a progression from that path. But I want to emphasize on certain issues from today. I tried to find a topic for today's teaching. I think I found, destined to rule. That's what I called it, destined to rule. Now, it's a compromise. Well, let me say, I prayed at a point in time. I said, Lord, please, what topic do I use? Because many topics came to my mind. But then at the end of the day, I believe it's more in keeping with what God wants us to use. So I chose the title, Destined to Rule, for the series of teachings that we are going to commence today. I mentioned earlier that it's actually a progression from what we were discussing over the last 5 weeks, in which we talked about doing the work of God. The reason why is because where we stopped, we're talking about the work of God being when you are working to advance the kingdom of God on the earth. Do you understand my point? Remember, we emphasized that there is a thing with human beings. They love what grieves their soul. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is, if you will grieve, if you will punish their flesh, they tend to get a better satisfaction and a sense of having done the will of God. That is why the gospel often appears foolish to people. When you tell them, believe and you will be saved. No, the man doesn't like that. What he will like is that he would like to go on a 15-day fast. Do you understand my point? That is why you find it a lot of assemblies that emphasize things like that. People go there, they throng there, because it feels better to a human being's soul that I am doing something for myself. Do you get the point I'm making? That is, he would rather do what is hard than what is simple, because what is hard will give him the sense that he has worked hard. Do you understand what I'm going to say? That's why Jesus emphasized the issue of freely receiving. He said, freely you have received, freely give. Well, men don't like that. That's the spirit of Esau. They like something that I worked for with my hand. And they will say boldly that my own strength, my own power, and the strength of my hand has begotten me this wealth. They don't want to acknowledge that by the grace of God, I am what I am. You understand what I'm trying to say? That's just something about human beings. Now, so we're explaining that the work of the kingdom, actually, the work of God, is not necessarily what we are doing that we think will please God, but what God has commanded that we should do. Whether it appears difficult or simple is not the issue. The issue is that this is the commandment of God concerning what we should do. And we emphasize that. Now, what I want to go on to talk about today is a progression from that. Remember the last thing we said is that the whole earth, the Bible says, will become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. Now, as I start, let me just take a few texts of the scriptures, because I believe that it will give me a very good focus in what I want to say. Now, open your Bibles, if you have it there, to Isaiah chapter 9. Now, this is a verse of scripture that we all know very well. So, it said, for a child will be given, will be born to us, and a son will be given to us. And the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Verse 7 says, there will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace. And on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness. He said, from then on, and forevermore. He said, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. Now, bear that in mind and open and just flip a few pages down and let's go to Isaiah chapter 45, verse 22. Isaiah chapter 45. He said, turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone forth from my mouth in righteousness and will not turn back. That to me every knee will bow, every tongue will swear allegiance. They will say of me, only in the Lord are righteousness and strength. Men will come to him, and all who were angry at him will be put to shame. Verse 25 says, in the Lord all the offspring of Israel will be justified and will glory. The next verse says, Bel has bowed down, Nebo stoops over. Their images are consigned to the beasts,
and the cattle. The things that you carry are burdensome, a load for the weary beast. They stooped over. They have bowed down together. They could not rescue the burden, but have themselves gone into captivity. I want you to notice verse 23. It said, I have sworn by myself, that was God speaking, the word has gone forth from my mouth in righteousness and will not turn back. What is it I have sworn concerning? I have sworn that to me every knee will bow, every tongue will swear allegiance. They will say of me, only in the Lord are righteousness and strength. Now, quickly go down to the book of Romans from verse 17. It said, for if by the transgression of the one, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. Notice that emphasis. It says that death reigned because of transgression of the one, and then passed, if you read the previous verses, it said, passed on to everybody because all men sinned. It said, but then another man came, that is the second Adam, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, who brought the gift of righteousness. I'm explaining chapter 5, verse 17 of the book of Romans. Now the second man, Jesus Christ, brought the gift of righteousness. And because of that gift of righteousness, is there anybody that receives it will reign in life through that one Jesus Christ? Do you understand that? That is, before that, the person was being reigned over. That is, he became subject to the forces of life. But he now said, from now, having received of the, notice this word, the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, the person will reign in life through one Jesus Christ. Now, one thing I want you to understand is that the Bible says clearly, if you read Revelation chapter 1, verse 6, I think if you read King James, he said, and he hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now, these few verses of the scriptures that we have read, I want to tie a number of things there together. But there's one more I should read before we go on. There is one more I should read. Revelation chapter 17. Let me read this and then I'll be through with all these readings that I'm having from I'm doing at the beginning. It was talking about the beast. Where I'm going is verse 14, but I want to start from verse 11. It said, the beast which was and is not is himself also an eighth, and is one of the seven, and he goes to destruction. It says, the ten horns which you saw are ten kings which have not yet received the kingdom. But notice this. But they receive authority as kings with the beast for 1 hour. These, that is the ten kings, have one purpose. They give their power and authority to the beast. It said, this will wage war against the lamb, verse 14, and the lamb will overcome them. Now, notice this. Because he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are the called and chosen and faithful. Now, let me quickly explain this before I go back to what I want to say. Now, the Bible is telling us here that there are 10 kings, and they will receive authority as kings. Now, notice this. And they have one purpose in all the authority they are receiving. What is that purpose? To give that power and authority to the beast, which means that the beast by himself has no authority. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? He has no power. But whichever way he will do it, he will persuade the 10 kings to have it as a singular purpose in their hearts, to give their power and their authority to the beast. You have heard me say this before, that God does not rule on the earth, neither does the devil rule on the earth. It is not true that Adam sold the dominion over the whole earth to the devil, therefore devil is reigning all the time. That is not so. What happens is that men rule on the earth, and whoever that person wills, he will yield his power and his authority to. Do you get the point I'm trying to make? I was preaching, somewhere about last weekend. I told them something that if you're a preacher, like I am, that God gives you the power to persuade people. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That is, there is an anointing to persuade people. It is there. It's not something that God gives to you periodically. Every time you stand in front of people to begin to speak, they instinctively respond to your words. That's the way God has designed it. That is what is called an anointing. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? It is not because of you have the power to speak. That's not the thing. It's not eloquence. It's that when you stand, your voice just has a persuasive power inside it. It is your responsibility to be careful to say the right things. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? God does not force you concerning what you will say. When he gives you an anointing, anointing does not come with what to say necessarily. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? It's your responsibility to make sure you generally have the right thing to say. That is why if a man decides that he's going to perfect his gift and start using it to raise money, forget it, he will do very well. If I become a salesman, as a teacher of the word of God, I will persuade people to buy the things that I'm selling. It's a fact. I told you, when I first came to Enugu, after the first year of teaching in Enugu, they voted for best lecturer and giving well understood lectures. I was voted as the best in pathology and pharmacology. You know, I just smiled to myself that it is not by reason of the knowledge of pathology that I have. It is an anointing. My mother had witnessed to it before that. Where did you learn to talk like this? What she didn't understand is not the words I use. It is their power to persuade that God has given to me. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make? It is my responsibility, therefore, to use it to persuade people for the word with the word of God. And that is why when I am arguing, I learned this long ago. If we get into an argument with friends, colleagues, you know, we're just discussing. Especially when they are believers, I don't quote the scriptures. I don't. In fact, when it boils down to that, I neglect the argument. Do you know why? I find out that the argument becomes unfair. Because once I start speaking, I win everybody over. Even if I quote wrong scriptures. Now listen to me. You have to be a man. That's what the Bible says, that until we become of maturity, of full stature, that we are no longer tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. You see, it has the power to toss people. Do you get the point I am making? It's a responsibility. Get my point. I started practicing this thing that I'm telling you more than 10 years ago. If I'm with friends, people who are my mates, and then, you know, in course of discussion, you say, no, it is right to buy a big car, it is wrong to buy a small one. You know, we begin to talk. I limit my argument as much as possible. I limit it away from the use of the scriptures. Because once I start, it becomes unfair. You understand what I'm trying to say? It becomes unfair. I know that once I start injecting the word of God to what I am saying, if I'm amongst believers, they generally sway over to the side of what I'm saying. Now, let me not judge now whether I am right or I am wrong. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I just want to judge what happens. Except the people are of solid. No, you see, that is why when I see, one day I was in a place and a big man of God in this nation gathered everybody in his congregation and he began to preach. And he was sharing with them one fresh revelation they just got from heaven. And everybody erupted. Woo! Woo! Wow! Yeah! Wow! Shouts and everything. And I shook my head that what this guy said is wrong from the beginning to the end. And I had many scriptures running through my head to prove him wrong. That is to show that this guy is wrong. If one of my friends beside me, he was so confused, he tapped me and said, did the Bible not say? I said, chill. When we get home, we'll discuss it. What this guy said was wrong. It was absolutely unscriptural. But the whole place moved. There are people that have said things that are correct, but they are unable to persuade anybody. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? I'm bringing something here. That power that God has given you, we'll talk about something like that in the course of today's teaching. It is your responsibility to subject it to God who gave it to you. That's why Miles Morrow preached like this, that where purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. That is, if you don't understand why God gave you something, you will use it anyhow. That is why James said, you that call yourself teachers, you will suffer a stricter judgment. Do you? Because there is it. You can easily lead people astray. Very, very easily. That's why you find sometimes, you know, there are preachers who have made themselves professional money raisers. And I laugh. I say, look, you don't understand. You are treading on dangerous grounds. You are walking a minefield. You see, because that is why you have to be careful that you are getting results. It's not the issue. You know, I've told you before, it's not results. It is to do what you are called to do. Whether you get results or not, it's not the issue. Do you follow my point? Because if it was just results, Jesus was a failure because at the end of the day, he didn't convert Israel and they killed him. But he said, my purpose is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? You have to be careful, because if you're judging by results, you turn a man into a professional money raiser, and he has the gift, the evangelistic or the teaching anointing, or the especially the prophetic anointing, he will persuade people and they will drop money. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And if you judge his gift by the value of the money he's able to raise, then you have missed the point absolutely. And he even missed it before you for subjecting himself to that kind of ministry. Because the fact that he's getting results just shows that he's really anointed. It does not show us whether he's using his anointing correctly. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, I'm using all of this to explain a point. That the Bible says that these kings have one purpose, to give their power and their authority to the beast. Now, because without them, the beast will not be able to do anything. But that's not my emphasis. But I believe you've learned one or two things in what I have said. That's a bit of digression, actually. My emphasis in verse 14. He said, "This will wage war against the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, because he is Lord of lords and King of kings." This is what I want you to understand. Here, he's drawing a distinction between one group of people. He's comparing them with another group. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That is, here is the beast. Without that, by himself, he has no authority there. But the king is giving power and authority. Do you understand my point? Then on the other side, it said, is the Lamb, who will overcome the beast and the ten kings. Now, where does he get his own power and authority from? That's the point I'm going to get across to you. He said it is because he is Lord of lords and King of kings. Now understand that. That is, there are kings that have given him their own power and their authority. They have crowned him king over themselves. Do you follow the point I'm making? That there are lords who have given him power and authority that God gave to them. They gave it to him and crowned him king over themselves. Now look at David. Bible talks about the throne of David, which we read about earlier, about the increase of his kingdom and of peace. And upon the throne of David, he will reign forever. Remember, the people went to David and called him and said, "Yeah, we know God has anointed you, but now we are calling you to be our king." Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That is, by themselves, they called him and anointed him king over themselves. Do you follow my point? One of the problems we have with understanding the scriptures is that, now, please listen to me carefully. I am not trying to in any form downplay the importance of the person of Jesus. But we forget. In fact, it's an erroneous statement to say he was fully God and fully man on the earth. That's in his... I don't know why we don't read the Bible. It is not true. The Bible said he laid aside his glory. How can God be without glory? He was 100% on the earth, man. He was not God in any form. Because if he were God, how can you say that he was tempted as we are? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? The Bible says he became like his brethren so that he can understand and feel exactly what they are feeling. In fact, I was discussing with some of my friends in church one day. He said people like to do that, to make Jesus look as if he was a superman, because he absolves them of the responsibility to be like he was. After all, he was God. Believe me, he was not. He was God before he was born. The moment he was born, imagine that as God, Mary did not feed him breast milk. He would have starved to death. Can you imagine God starving to death? It doesn't work like that. It's what is called putting down his glory. He came, the Bible said, in the form of a bond servant. You see, we have to get that into our heads. Now, that is not the only thing we have to get into our heads. The next point we have to get into our heads is that when he was crowned with glory, he was not crowned with glory as God who has returned back to his throne. He was crowned with glory as a man who has overcome. Do you get the point I am making? Let me get this. I think we should read this. Go to Hebrews chapter 2. Now, let me just quickly read this. Because of time, this is not the main thing I want to preach, but let me explain a few points here. If you read from verse 9, he said, let's just start from verse 8, part B. "For in subjecting all things to him, he left nothing that is not subject to him. But we do not yet see all things subjected to him." It said, "But we do see him," that is Jesus now, "who was made for a little while lower than the angels," namely Jesus, "because of the suffering of death. We see him crowned with glory and honor, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and through whom are all things, in bringing, notice this, in bringing many sons to glory, to perfect the author of their salvation through sufferings. For both he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all from one Father. For this reason, he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brethren. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise. Now, let me just jump down, please, to verse 14. He said, therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and might free those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. Let me just jump, verse 17. Therefore, he has not made, this is what I want to bring out. Therefore, he had to be made like his brethren in all things, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For since he himself was tempted in that which he has suffered, he is also able to come to the aid of those who are tempted. Let me just explain. What he was saying is that, if you read verse 9, the Bible said, no, verse 10, the Bible said what God was doing was to bring many sons to glory. And that in doing that, he perfected the author of their salvation through sufferings. Now, what I want to say is this. If you go and read the book of Philippians, the Bible said that, therefore God highly exalted him in that he was obedient to the point of death. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, what I'm trying to emphasize here is this. He was not crowned with glory as God returned back to the throne. Do you understand what I'm saying? But what he did was that he was crowned as flesh and blood that overcame the devil, who overcame the world, who through the sufferings that he suffered in his flesh and blood, God found him faithful and crowned him with glory and honor. He said, therefore, he can bring many sons to the same glory that he has achieved, being the author of their salvation. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That is, if God walks through the valley of the shadow of death and did not fear any evil, that is good. It's God. I won't try going through that valley of the shadow of death. It's risky. Is it not risky? It's very, very risky. I mean, God walked through a place. Even if it's an angel that walked through it, I won't try it. But when a man, flesh and blood, that was tempted with fear like me, went through the valley of the shadow of death without fearing any evil, that tells me that I can also do it. That is how he became the author of salvation. Do you understand the point I'm making? You see, people, like I said, he absolves you of that responsibility of being perfect, because after all, he was God. You say something, say, Jesus said, look, Jesus was God, though, you know you are not. Do you understand the point I'm trying to make? But the Bible makes it clear that what he achieved as flesh and blood, that God doesn't learn. Does God learn? But the Bible says he learned obedience from the things that he suffered. That without those sufferings, he may not have understood obedience. That is the person that came. When he came as a child, let me explain that to you. He was absolutely empty. There was nothing in him that was more than what you find in another human being. But we like to think that, he was God. You know, some very, very silly stories we used to tell as children, that one day he was playing on the sand. You know, we used to build sand castles in the sand. I mean, I did as a child too. Wet sand. Put your leg in it. Mold it in over your leg and pull your leg out. That's a little cave in there. Then one day somebody told us that, when Jesus was a child, when he would do his own, birds would fly out. Big joke. Nothing came out of anywhere. When it rained, his own castle also collapsed. It was as he was growing that the Bible said he was increasing in wisdom. Do you understand my point? He was increasing in strength. He was increasing in favor with God and with man. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So that by the time he had been tested, he was now found perfect. God now said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And in the same manner, believe me, every day he's telling people, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Do you understand my point? When he talked about, do you think I cannot call my father for 12 legions of angels? He wasn't talking about, do you know I came from heaven. I was conceived of a virgin. Look, just don't try me. I have special entrance. That's not what he was saying. What he was saying is that, look, I have had a relationship with my father all these years. I have obeyed him in everything. There is no case in which I disobeyed him. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And for that reason, the father is pleased with me and does not ever deny me any request. Do you get the point I'm making? That is something, that was something about him. Now, where were we earlier? We're talking, we're in Revelation chapter 17. Now, What was going on there, therefore, that I was trying to explain, that the Bible was comparing two things. The beast who got authority from a place and the lamb who got his own authority. Notice that word, the beast and the lamb. You know, it was a comparison. Now, so this authority with which he will overcome the beast and his kings is gotten also from his own lords and his kings. Listen to this. It is not because he gave them authority per se. No. It is because they also go through the same things that he went through. Get what I'm trying to say? And the Father also finds them faithful and crowns them with glory. Do you understand my point? Now, he being the firstborn, all of them now subject the power and the authority that the Father has given them to the Lamb. You understand the context? The beast had the kings that gave him power and authority. Then there is another person called the Lord, but the functional word here is lords. He is Lord over some lords. The important thing there is lords. He is king over some kings. I want to emphasize that one, kings. That is because those people give him his power and his and the authority, their power and their authority, that he will overcome the Lamb. Do you understand the point I'm making? I don't want to digress too much in what I'm preaching today. But what you will have understood is that the same way that the Bible says that because of the sin of Adam, that we read in Romans chapter 5, death began to reign over everybody. He said in the same manner, because of the righteousness of Jesus, grace was made available so that men could reign over death. But listen to this. If you read that Romans chapter 5 very well, you will see that he said that death reigned over all men. Why? Because all men sinned. In the same manner, the gift of righteousness is given to all men because all men believe. That is the opposite of the sin of Adam. Do you get what I'm trying to say? It is not the way people will look at it as if, now I'm born again, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's not the point he's making. That is the same way men tap into this death introduced by Adam by disobedience. They will have to, by obedience, tap into the righteousness introduced by Jesus Christ. Now, please follow me closely. That is, in their walk with God, they will be crowned with power and authority because of their walk with God, which Jesus had taught them how to do. That is the importance of his coming. To show men, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Do you understand what I'm going to say? Philip said that, how can we go to where you are going when we don't know? He said, I am the way. Just follow me. Whatever you see me do, do likewise. Do you get what I'm going to say? Whatever you see me do, do likewise. There is a spirit I will put inside you called the Spirit of Christ. That spirit will propel you to do things exactly the same way I did it. And if you will do that, the Father will also find you faithful and crown you with authority. When James and John came to him and said, grant that we should sit on your left and on your right in your kingdom. What did he tell them? That don't worry, say you are with me now. No trouble. Is that what he said? He said, are you able to pass through the same things I'm going to pass through? That this is the passing through that gets you to that place. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is, these kings and these lords receive power and authority for one reason. Read the next line. Those who are with him, that is the lords and the kings, that's what he's describing, are the called, who by reason of their conduct have been chosen. And further on, by reason of more conduct, have been found faithful. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Wait, is my logic too? It's not difficult. I mean, it's clear. Now, I'm coming to a point here that the Bible says clearly, because of this called, chosen, and faithful, the Lord of lords and the King of kings will overcome the beast. Now, if you go back to Isaiah chapter 9, what did he say there? He said, of the increase of his kingdom and of peace, there shall be what? No end. He said, that's verse 7. He said, there will be no end to the increase of his government of peace. Now, what I want to explain here is this. This increase is not a gentle increase. It's a forceful advance. Do you understand my point? He's describing a situation of battle in which one kingdom is being conquered by another. That was why he said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now, as a very young boy, I thought that the gates of hell was fighting, and the church will not prevail. But Miles Morrow pointed out one day, when I was listening to him, he said, gates don't shift. Gates are what? Barricades. They are obstructions to the advance of the enemy. That is, the church is the enemy, not the devil. Do you know what I'm trying to say? That is, the person who is suffering advance, so is suffering a barrage of offense, is the kingdom of darkness, not the kingdom of God. Forget all the lie they tell you on CNN. Make it look like Islam is the fastest growing religion on the earth. It's a lie. Believe me, it's a lie. What is advancing is the kingdom of God. It's just that they are making noise. Now, all that one you see is what I can call the gates of hell, trying to resist the advance of the kingdom. And the Bible says clearly, of the increase of this government, of this kingdom, which is always accompanied by peace, when it's settled down, there will never be any end. Do you understand the point I'm making? That is, the gates of hell will try, but it will always fail. But what I'm emphasizing to you today is the fact that he will overcome because there are those who are with him. They are the kings and the lords who are called the called, the chosen, and the faithful. Now, bear that in mind. Now, I just wanted to use that to explain that scripture. Now, what was I going to preach? Please. That was supposed to be an explanation. Yeah, no, I know it's destined to rule. But where was I when I started talking about this? Okay, yes, I remember now. I said you should quickly flip down to Isaiah chapter 46 and we read it. Yes. Now, maybe we should go back there to help me connect what I'm trying to say. Isaiah 45, the latter part. God said, I have sworn by myself, verse 23, the word has gone forth from my mouth in righteousness and will not turn back. That to me every knee will bow, every tongue will swear allegiance. It's an oath I have taken. They will say, only in the Lord are righteousness and strength. He said, men will come to him, and all who were angry at him will be put to shame. Now, what I want us to understand here is this. There must be an increase of the kingdom of God. But the way God has ordained it is that it must be through the kings and the lords that he is Lord and King over. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Do you follow my point? That is, anybody who is with God in the work of the kingdom is advancing the kingdom of God in every territory of this earth. You're following me? That is, there are kings, there are people who have sat over kingdoms. Once it is called a kingdom, a dominion on the earth, the Bible says clearly, it must become subject to the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who is doing the work of the kingdom is a person who is effecting that thing. Because, listen, God will not just sit on heaven and he do his finger like this, and then one day, for no reason, everything has become the kingdom of the Lord and of his Christ. No. It is sit at my right hand until I make all your enemies. You see, there is a process. That's what that statement is describing. Sit at my right hand. He said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until, that is, between now and that point, there is something that I will be doing. I will say, until I make all thy enemies a footstool for thy feet. Now, get what I'm saying here. I always, you know, all this story about tribulation and no tribulation, whether the church is going to be raptured before tribulation or halfway through tribulation or immediately after the tribulation. Listen, I don't understand the details of all those grammar. One thing I know for sure, God is not going to call the church out as an escape from danger. That's one thing I know for sure. Do you understand what I'm going to say? You know, people tend to develop doctrines based upon their experiences. One day I was somewhere, a man was preaching. He said, there's nothing that, if we do like this, do like this, do like this, learn how to praise God properly after the temple and everything, and then Jesus will just really appear. I said, it's a lie. Before he comes, somebody Bin Laden will have shut his mouth. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? No, it's not an escape like, they're about to kill them. Oyeka, come, let's go and rescue. That is not a pullout. Listen, it's a fight till death. That is, you either win or you are dead. There's no pullout. Do you follow what I'm saying? He said, sit at my right hand, Psalm 110, until I make all thy enemies a footstool for thy feet. If the people are still being harassed, listen to me, it's not coming anywhere yet. That's what gives me the confidence that Jesus is not coming tomorrow. That is tomorrow, as the 29th, right? Of May, Democracy Day in Nigeria, 2005. That one, I am sure, he's not coming. Because there are still too many enemies that are not yet subject. There was something I said last time, which I want to emphasize today. That at the, in the book of Genesis, it said, God blessed them and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. What I want to emphasize here is this, fill the earth and subdue it. I told you that once I listened to a man of God and he was explaining that as Adam and his descendants will multiply, the purpose of God is that everywhere they get to, the influence of God gets there. Do you get what I'm trying to say? That is, everybody has a kind of spirit that they carry. And when you are talking about God on the earth, I have explained before that God on this earth is always tangible. Do you understand what I'm saying? Let me get over that again. That if you are describing God, he must have an identity. He's not just God of the heavens. He's always represented by somebody. He'll tell the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Why? Because the God in the heavens cannot be seen. He has even forbidden people from making an image that looks like, supposedly looks like him. Are you getting me? But he has to be described. There must be a reference that is that you can use to connect. If you are going somewhere for goodness sake, if somebody is giving you direction, if I'm describing how to get, I'll ask you, do you know Tigba Junction? No, you don't. Okay, you know about New Estate. I give you references that you know to describe where you will get to. You understand the point I'm making? If somebody is describing God, therefore, he has to give him references. So they will say, he's a God of Abraham. You say, yeah, Abraham, I know. Yeah, yeah, he's God. That Abraham. He says, the God of Isaac. Yeah, I've heard so much about Isaac. Isaac was the one that dug those wells, and then they fought over them, and they left the wells, and then finally God gave him rest when he dug another well. He said, yes. He said, yes, that's the same Isaac that reaped 100-fold in the year of famine. Yes. Hey, good. That God has told him to plant that year is the one I'm talking about. That's the God of Isaac. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That is, when Paul will speak, he said, the God of my Lord Jesus Christ. And the same Jesus Peter was talking about, you have heard of Jesus. In Acts chapter 10, he said he went around doing good and healing all those who were oppressed of the devil because God was with him. Yet the God of that Jesus Christ is the one I'm describing. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, if you are talking about the kingdom of God also on this earth, he always has somebody there. Oh, get me what I'm saying. That is, he says that, pray like this. Thy will be done. He said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in the heavens. That is, if you find a place where the will of God is being done by people, not being done by spirits, not being done by birds or lions, but by people, that is where the kingdom of God is. Do you understand what I'm saying? That Jesus will tell you that if you see me healing people by the finger of God, then know that the kingdom of God has come in you. That is, kingdom of God is not oxygen and nitrogen in the air. It is my presence that is called the kingdom of God. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Now, I hope I'm laying this foundation very well. Remember I said what? The title of our messages from this point on is what? Destined to rule. Good. Because if God is going to rule on anything on the earth, he must always have a reference point on the person who is in charge. That if you say this place has become the kingdom of God, that is, it is being ruled over by one of his kings and one of his lords. Do you follow me? Anywhere that one of God's representatives has authority over, that one has become the kingdom of God. That's the point I'm making to you. It doesn't mean everybody will agree with him. But the Bible said those who are angry with him will be put to shame. That is, they get sacked. It's simple. No, shame. Do you think shame is like will rub money on your face? Not necessarily. That is a good one. But the idea is that, okay, in this company, nobody takes 10% kickback when he's doing any job. Do you understand that? None of our contractors pay 10% kickbacks. So they say, fine. Then somebody will say, that is a gazoon. As far as I'm concerned, he collects it. That is somebody who is angry with the Lord. Do you understand the point I'm making? And then this is shame. We sack him. Yesterday he had a job. Today he doesn't have it anymore. please, I hope you are following me what I'm saying. That is, when we are talking about the increase of the kingdom of God, I am saying that God does not just reign floating in the air. He dwells inside somebody. It is when that person is reigning that you say God is reigning there. Remember the way I drew it all from the beginning? That there are beasts. There is the beast, but there are kings that give him power and authority. That is, the reign of that beast is shown by where each of those kings have power. That is, that beast will not come to any of those kingdoms to issue decrees. But he's behind telling the kings, this is what you will do here. You, this is what you will do. Do you follow the point I'm making? In the same manner, God, you know, God will not come down and say, from now on, this will be the price of petrol in Nigeria. No. He will indwell somebody who will organize the market forces to fix the price at a particular rate if God wants it like that. Don't expect a decree from heaven. Hello, Nigerians. I am calling from the mountain that is burning with fire and sulfur, you know, the way I talked to Moses and Co. that time. You guys have to hear me. This is God speaking from Aso Rock. Henceforth, fuel shall not be scarce in Enugu. Diesel shall be very cheap, and kerosene must be 15 naira a liter. God will never open his mouth to say that. If that is his purpose, it's very simple. He said, okay, scatter the NPC, they will break it to 10 pieces. Okay, give the kingdom over to this man. Yes, that man has the interest of everybody at heart. And I will organize so that forces will allow it, that he will be able to sell fuel at this particular price. And the man would, because of his love for people, and of course his astute ability to manage money, decide those prices. Why? It is company. Then you find that the will of God is now being done. That's what the Bible calls your kingdom come. He said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. You see, it's tied together. To interpret the words of Jesus, you have to remember to tie it. Pray like this. Thy will be done. He said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. It's not two prayers. Thy kingdom come, comma, full stop. Have you finished? Your kingdom has come. Let's go to the next prayer point. Thy will be done on earth. That's not the next prayer point. The prayer point is, thy kingdom come as thy will is being done. That is, the will of God being done is the expression of the kingdom of God. Do you understand my point? We gave the reference to the words of Jesus. That if I'm healing, that is, I'm doing the will of God by the finger of God in the midst of you, that shows that the kingdom of God has come. Do you get the point I'm making? I titled the word, destined to rule. My emphasis up till now is to explain to you that the work of God is not to sit down and go, look, like maybe now, and ask, okay, today we'll finish this seminar. We are conducting another one tomorrow morning. And we'll be doing it morning and evening for the next 1 year, so that you will be very, very sure that you are doing the work of God. And Kingsley, you will come and open the door. Onyekachukwu, make sure that you start the prayer on time. Operator, the tapes must be ready on time. You know, you allocate the work. Why? It's the work of the kingdom. Big lie. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is the work of the kingdom. Now, for me, I'm doing the work of the kingdom. Do you understand my point? You are not doing it by being here. You are learning to do it. Do you understand what I'm saying? The only person right here actively doing the work is me. You know why? All of you are sitting down listening. When I finish my own, you can go and do your own. Do you understand? Right now is my time. This next 1 hour is my time to do my own work of the kingdom. Do you follow my point? Now, maybe you are a trader in Ogbete. When I finish with this, you will go back to your shop with vengeance. Do you understand my point? Let's assume you are managing a filling station. You say, yeah, in this filling station, listen to me. 1 liter is 1 liter. Not all this one of selling 10 liters and giving people 8 instead and collecting money for 10, it has stopped. We won't have money. Say, let us not have money. But from now on, the kingdom of God. Now, as a filling station manager, you are doing the work of the kingdom. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? Because the Bible has said it clearly. One of the things that God hates is an unjust weight. You get what I'm trying to say? That is, all those filling stations that said they'll bill you for 50 liters but give you 42. But God said, I hate the filling station. You don't get what I'm trying to say? That is, I hate that filling station. That is, that filling station must not prosper. But the one that gives you 1 liter when you pay for 1 liter is the one that I love. Do you get what I'm trying to say? And the man who is effecting that in every way that he has authority over, that man is doing the work of the kingdom. Do you understand my point? Listen, there are problems on the earth. Every time you face challenges, look, they can be tough. Do you understand my point? But what happens is that you go to the presence of the Word of God, usually in the assembly of the people of God. The Bible says that do not forsake the assembling together. He said, so that you can, how does it go again? So you encourage one another, seeing that the day is drawing near. That is, to be able to withstand those pressures, you come to places like this. Remember I said something, I think it was last week or the week before, that God will give you the power to do something and still reward you for doing it. In the same manner, the devil will push you, Satan will push you to do what is wrong, and you'll be the one judged for doing wrong. They won't say it's because of Satan. That is, whether it is God or Satan, they empower you to do what you really want to do. Are you following what I'm saying? That is, to use just weight. Listen, it can be tough. You go to market, maybe everybody, you are selling rice. Your own rice is supposed to be, you are doing rice per kilogram. And they say rice is, how to say it correctly. Okay, let's assume 50 naira per kg. That may not be a correct price. Okay, let's say 100 naira per kg, all right? 100 naira per kg, all right? Now, when you weigh a proper 1 kg, you have to sell 100 naira to make money. Your neighbor sells at 85 naira, except that his own kg is actually 0.7 kg. He has twisted his weight. To stand for righteousness means that the one you won't sell. Because people will come to your shop and say, how much is rice? Say 100 naira a kg. Say, but they sell 85 down the road. They say, well, I don't know how they are managing. We'll buy our stuff from the same place. Okay, your things are too costly. And you wait. No, your things are not so costly. The one you will not sell. Listen to me. The two you won't sell. And if you want to lose out entirely, go around and say, that man is a fraudster. It's not your job. You understand my point? It's not your responsibility. You just cause fight in the market for nothing. Whatever it will take, let me tell you, this is a power of the Spirit. We're going to come down to that. This is a power of the Spirit. That you will continue to sell at 100 naira a kg without changing your weight. Do you get my point? Without selling 750 grams for 1 kg. You are doing the will of God. Then after God has seen you resisting sin almost to the point of the death of the business, then he steps in. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is, he will watch you resist sin almost to the shedding of blood, that is the death of the business. But say, no, whatever it takes, I will not lie and sell 750 grams for 1 kg. I can't do that. Then one day God will appoint another Dora Kunyili somewhere who will say, now we are going to be inspecting the proper weight in the market. And this is the way devil is. There's what they call Agbano in Yoruba land. Hey, Mike, you know what I'm talking about? It's a spirit of waste that enters a man's life. God first sends spirit of waste to all your neighbors who have been doing wickedly. And it is just, they open the door to that spirit. And they cannot recover and do right. Because the man is used to making a wide profit for nothing. So he has bought a car that's bigger than him and he's paying instrumentally. That's the way it goes. Then the decree comes out, he has paid 80% of the price of the car. So he's forced to return his weight to the proper place. No, they first catch about three people and make them examples. Those ones go to jail. The other competitors have expended, stretched their lifestyle to eating more than they have. So one day, they put up their shop for sale. And God gives you money to buy it at a quarter of the correct worth. That is, you wake up one day, 5 years down the line, there were 50 of you doing that business in that area. Now you own 48 of the shops. Do you get my point? That is, the kingdom of God has come upon that market. Are you following what I'm saying? That is, the work of the kingdom there is not to abandon the market and say, do I... You know, I was in the church I told you I went to preach the other day. There was a question they were asking. There was an interactive section before I came. And one of the questions, where the women would complain and the men would respond, and the men would complain and the women would respond, you know, marital issues and all that. And there was a question that it was raised. And I wanted to put my mouth when I started preaching, but I said, no, let me leave the matter. He said that the brothers have this complaint against sisters, that against their wives. That why is it that they will go out to places and come back home late and it is not church? That they are unhappy when their wives come back home late and they are not coming back from church. I wanted to say, does it make any difference whether it's church or not? If they come back home, whether it's from church, it's bad. That's what I was going to open my mouth to say, but I decided to keep quiet lest I give anybody offense. I noticed how we calculatedly excused staying late in church. And because for the man to be complaining, he's not there. And since he's in church complaining, he's a brother too. You understand my point? It's not as if it's an unbelieving husband and as a believing wife. Both of them are believers. That is, you feel it is righteous when you occupy the women in church. The man can't complain. But any other thing she does and she stays late, it is not right. I just shot my mother. I don't want to give anybody offense. But what I'm trying to say here is this. Don't let's fool ourselves. That doesn't give you the validity of the work of God because it is inside the building that we call church. Do you understand the point I'm making? Now, what I'm trying to preach to us today is simple. That the Bible says there will be an increase of his kingdom or of his government and of peace that always follows it. You understand my point? But that increase is not going to be that Jesus will grow larger in person. But that the people who his spirit dwells in will begin to take over more kingdoms. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That is the increase of his kingdom and of peace. Now listen, let's take Nigeria for example. Nigeria is a beautiful, in fact, I don't believe there is a country on the earth today that can outline the principles of the kingdom for you more than this country. You have seen the wicked flourish for a while and you've seen judgment come upon them. I mean, I remember the days that drug barons and fraudsters were ruling over Lagos. Are you getting me? I mean, some of them move in entourage. The man is a crook. We know he's a crook. He knows he's a crook. The people in his entourage, they know he's a crook. Policemen know. Everybody know this guy is a fraudster. But since they have stolen billions of naira, he patrols the streets in the latest cars and marries the finest women because he has the money. And of course, there were shops that opened, I don't want to mention them, to service them. That is, normal shirts that human beings will buy for 200 naira. They will sell it there for 3,000 naira. And this is normal people couldn't afford the 200 naira. You can imagine those guys who are paid. So the guys who own that shop, of course, it's free money, stolen money, drug money. And then one day, God appointed a madman, in quotes, as the head of National Drug Law Enforcement Agency. The man did not respect the king or respect God. He just said, the sheriff should enforce drug law. No problem. And that ended the reign of drug lords in Lagos. I mean, we watched it happen all the time. There was a time armed robbers were in there. God appointed MB Marwa as military administrator. And the thing ended like this. That is, in Nigeria, we have seen things happen. But that's not the main example I even want to use. Remember the example I was giving you the other time? That they say, those days, 90% of judges in Nigeria were in Ogboni. I said, that was those days. But the increase of his government and of peace has ensured that the number keeps on dwindling. And listen to me, it's a prophetic word based upon the scriptures. There shall be no end. There shall be no end. I'm a lecturer in the University of Nigeria, Enugu campus. I mean, the increase of his government has reached our university because the vice chancellor, I always call him an archbishop, I don't know why. He's very rude, but I call him archbishop. I mean, it's showing, I head the department, I know what I'm saying. I mean, the increase of his kingdom has obviously reached University of Nigeria. It has. He sent a circular out once. That if he hears any allegation of sexual harassment, be informed that he will investigate it. Now, that alone will scare every man to put his trouser in order. Now, it was a circular to everybody on campus that if he hears any case of sexual harassment of lecturer versus student, be sure it will be investigated. Not the one that one of my friends said they was telling me those days, University of Benin, that they went to report to the dean. The dean said, I beg, go and meet the manager. What will it cost you? No, that was the reign of Satan. Let me see the man who is cursed from his hometown to come and do it in the University of Nigeria now. And the vice chancellor hears. Listen to me. there shall be more vice chancellors like that appointed in this country. That is what is called the increase of his kingdom and of peace. As peace has entered the university. You know, people, they tell that cultism cannot be handled. I say, I don't believe it. You don't want to handle it. The year after I left University of Benin, the then vice chancellor, that was her last year, Professor Grisale Williams, faced cults, and the thing vanished. It was after she left, she came back. No, the woman just faced the cults. Okay, all right, I heard there's cultism on campus, it's getting too much, I don't like it anymore. Bam, it's ending. It started when I was in final year. When the earth heard the judgments of God, the inhabitants learned righteousness rapidly. The woman would take a boy about to finish his final year, I mean, a week to graduation from school as a medical student. Next week, he will become a house officer. He will give him rustication letter for 7 years. They ran to court. The boys were peeing in their trousers. But listen to me, he stood. They served 5 years each before the next VC pardoned them. They were my seniors. I was a senior registrar when some of them were doing house job. There was a young boy I know. I knew his girlfriend. Who finished from computer science with a second class upper. Instead of collecting a, what do you call it? Call up letter from NYC. He got a dismissal letter bagged by a year. Courtesy, Professor Grace Ali Williams. For what? Cult activities. The next year, people were afraid to sneeze loud. And if you want to sneeze, you cover your head. Lest they think it is a gunshot. When thy judgments are on the earth, O God, the inhabitants of this world, they learn righteousness. Forget all this. It's because the hands of the VCs were not clean. Of the increase of his kingdom, or his government and of peace, there shall be no end. What I'm trying to say here is this. The increase of his kingdom is not God will be sending waves from the heavens. God will say, I will call a man of my purpose, the called, the chosen, and the faithful, and make him a vice chancellor. If they will not hear, I will make him minister of education. Then he will give a marching order to all the VCs. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make? Listen, God has not done some of these things because he has not found anybody. Destined to rule, that's what we are talking about. That if the world will experience the goodness of God, the first thing God finds is a man who has experienced his goodness and his severity, who has vowed that I will stand with God till I die. Then God says, fine, now I'll make you the next IG of police. Let me see the next policeman who will collect bribe on the road. We all complain. Finally, when Ogatafa was removed with 12 billion naira in his pocket, we found out why he couldn't stop his boys. Because his commissioners were donating 1 million naira a month to his pocket. And he did not ask them where they get it from. He knew. You know what 20 naira on the road means? Thousands of buses every day. Do you understand what I mean by the increase of his kingdom and of peace? That there will be no end? That is when God finds the proper man, he makes him the IG of police. One of the problems we have is that we keep on saying the police is bad, so a Christian cannot join. We quoted last time, he said the sons of Ephraim, though they were armed, yet they turned back in the day of battle and therefore broke my covenant. We did a series we call God's Champion. That is, God told Jeremiah, see, I have strengthened you. I have made your forehead hard before them. However, if you turn back because of the fear of them, I will disgrace you publicly. The commandment is, listen, you are small, they are big. You appear weak, they appear strong. But I have strengthened you, I have made you strong. Go in this strength I have given you. If at any time you turn back, then I will have to dismay you personally. I feel sorry for people telling me that I can't do full-time ministry because of hunger. That is why everything you do will not prosper. God said, I will feed you, take it from me. I will. If you say, God, I'm not sure. God said, all right, just watch it. Go and try. I give you stud everywhere. You know what they call stud? When we were young, we used to call it study. He gave the boy a study. you know, if you were from my part of the world, you understand what I'm saying. That is when you want to move, like the God will stretch his leg, you fall. Say, I rebuke you, Satan. I say, look, it is me. It's not Satan, it's me. Can you rebuke me? Say, I'm sorry, sir. Yeah, go back to where I sent you. That is the power of fear. People run away from what God has called them to do. It's not just fear of they will kill me. No, sometimes it is fear of what shall I eat? What shall I drink? Wherewithal shall I be clothed? What will my children eat? God said, take no thought for your life. That is my responsibility. Your responsibility is to go to battle and fight for me. I will take care of the other one. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is, God has given birth to every child of his and given him a particular throne to rule over. And until he manifests, everybody who that authority falls over will be suffering. Every man that God called to, you know, if you look at the earth, you know the problem with Christians? We have thought that ministry is come out. You go around catching people one after the other. No, you think that is all that is ministry. That all cases of polio must be healed by laying of hands. No, God says, go and make polio vaccine. Do you get the point I am making? God said, look, you cannot get everybody to come and take collect laying of hands and anointing oil to cure hepatitis. Therefore, I shall send some of you to the laboratories. You will cook up for me hepatitis vaccine. Listen, God is merciful. He's not trying to swell the walls of a church. You know, that's what we think. The anointed one is the one that God does everybody, and when he comes, his robe, he will fill the temple. You know what I'm trying to say? No, that's not what he's trying to do. That, you know, every time, there are prayers I pray every day. Believe me. You know, hey, Mike, you know the way they pray in Yoruba? I say that, you know that. That let me just say like this. Some of them say, may you not see the wrath of the Lord, that is, you know, stuff like that. Once in a while, they show Nigerian prisons, and you see maybe half of the people in there are awaiting trial. How long have you been awaiting trial? 5 years. What is the maximum sentence for which you are awaiting trial? 3 years. Then once in a while, one chief judge that has just been appointed will magnanimously order the release of all those who have served, who have waited for longer than the sentences of the crime. And we feel the man is magnanimous. It's a kind man. Yes, he is kind that he even remembered. Because the one before him did not even remember. You know, every time I see it, I'm not joking about this. Before I was like, this is wicked. No. I just say, Father God, deliver me from trouble. Let me not find myself there. Because it's not funny. After that, I said, God, please give us a system by which this will not happen. I'm not saying you shouldn't punish the man who is guilty. But for goodness sake, I have seen people detained by policemen just because his neighbor does not like him. And he wants to go to court, no trouble. That is, even lawyers find it quicker to tell you, bring me 5,000. Let me give this man. This guy will come out. No. Americans have their problem, but in that justice area, at least they try. Once you arrest the man, one lawyer will stroll in with his hand in his pocket. He'll ask you, how long has he been here? 1 hour. Okay, I think he can go home. Now, you've not finished questioning. He won't ask your permission. You just drag the man by the hand. Have you charged him for nothing? No, you haven't. Just drag the guy by the hand. And the policeman can't do anything. I love watching Law and Order. That TV program. I love it. Some of the times when I just see the district attorney and the defense attorney, arguing. The guy would just look and say, I'm going to judge. This guy said, for what? He said, I found this. He said, that's one. You found the way on the street. Anybody could have done that. You know, as he's saying it, he's dragging the man by the hand. The boy, get up, let's go home. The man is pulling himself. And I say, oh, Nigeria, we heard. You know, that old song. Now, it didn't just come to my heart. Their own was not made by God. Listen to me. It was made by a man inside whom the spirit of the gods, there's a reason why I use that expression, the spirit of God dwelt. Because we'll read about Joseph, we'll read about Daniel. That, listen, there are people that God has appointed that as long as you live and for generations after you, no man will be in detention beyond 24 hours except he's charged. didn't see one bloody constable come and arrest a big man like me and lock him up. What has he done? Your neighbor reported that you are threatening his life. No, my neighbor said, okay, I didn't threaten his life. He said, no, you come and explain at the station. My neighbor said, the other day I was at an autopsy. A young girl died. And they accused his boyfriend of having poisoned her. So the family of the boy wanted me to stand for them at the autopsy. I wasn't the one in the autopsy. I just went there. So I was questioning the IPO, investigating police officer. I said, so what's going to happen? I told the boy, man, food poisoning. He didn't understand that food poisoning is a medical terminology. It doesn't mean they put poison in the food. He was blabbing rubbish. No, I said, officer, wait. What I am saying is that the food could have been contaminated by a natural poison that nobody put in. That's what it's called food poisoning. I don't mean that somebody poisoned the food and that is food poisoning. Okay, doc. I looked the man. He said, no, that they were arrested, but that they will arrest the person who went to buy the food. They will arrest the person who sold the food. You know, at least, why don't you even ask yourself motive? In a public booker, what will be the motive for somebody to sell poison food to another single person, being the only one who died amongst the many that ate the food? No, the man said, yes, they will find out, but they will first arrest everybody. I said, aye. We have been praying, but listen to me. God always asks one question. Who shall I send? Who will go for me? Sorry, let me just say this. Some of the people that he wants to send are in one Christian camp somewhere. Feeling they are doing the work of God by following the man of God about. God will look, oh foolish Galatians, will you go and take a job as a magistrate so I can promote you rapidly? Are you mad? One of the things you must never do again, let me ban you from today, is to open your mouth and say, that sector is bad, I can't go there. Jesus said, the one that is well does not need a physician. Is that not it? That if a sector is bad, then maybe I should go there. But what we like the sector that is good. So that you can say, so rest. You have a good job late for a long time. Rest, enjoy yourself. God is an idiot. This very night, he shall sack you from this job. So you can start praying like Hannah again. Do you get the point I'm making? I said, destined to what? To rule. That is, the way Adam would have filled the earth with the influence of God was simply by multiplying and not to avoid any sector of the earth. Do you get my point? Every area he avoids, that area, the sector will be dominated by the devil. Remember we read last time that God said, I will not drive them out from before you one single year. Because if I do, the land will become overrun by wild beasts. So as you increase, I will drive them out. That is, if I don't like all the Supreme Court justices in Nigeria, there is nothing, I can't leave the place vacant. I can't. God says, I can't. You don't understand. I cannot leave the seat vacant. I will put a satanist on seat number one, a guru maharaj on seat number two, a fatwa man on seat number three, a babalawo on number four, ogboni man on number five. But look, why? Because there's nobody to put. That is, bad justice is better than none at all. That is, there's a system for him to be a bad one over. So he will preserve the system until somebody or people that are good enough will be ready to be used to replace them. And I will not take them out from final year law and make them. It doesn't work like that. There are proper orders that are followed. God might hasten them up, but he will follow that order. Do you get the point I'm making? That is, there is no area, no matter how bad, that God has not appointed a righteous man to rule. But you know, the major problem is, what shall I eat? What shall I drink? Secondary school teachers are poorly paid. Let me tell you what you need to know. If God appointed you to be in that place, no matter how hard you run, your children will go to a bad secondary school for that purpose, for that reason. God will say, how can I give your children a good school when I appointed you to create a good school, good schools, and you have refused to do it. Many men who don't prosper, this is why they don't prosper. Because they are running after prosperity. And God said, no, you don't get the point. If I gave it to you, you will neglect your purpose. So I have to penina your life. You understand what I'm saying? Remember the Anna principle. I have to leave poverty as a penina to harass you into prayer. So every morning, instead of running out to go and fight your business, God said, wait. Kneel down there and pray, say, God, please. And then I will be able to whisper and say, wait. Since your business is not working now, I have created opening in Ebonyi State Secondary School Management Board. Is that what they call them? Anyway, you know what I'm saying? I say, God, me that have opened this and this before. I opened one restaurant. I have already opened one supermarket. Hey, but God, but it has collapsed now. At least that one you will get a regular salary. Now you will call your wife one day, say, okay, I think we are moving to the back leg. See, if God spoke to me this morning, that behold, my son, I have appointed a job waiting for you there. Then as soon as you arrive, the man will just say, please, what course did you study? He said, I studied psychology in university. He said, we have been looking for a guidance counselor for the whole state. Look, you shall be the one. So you will settle down and say, well, at least, then you start giving testimony. Brethren, as soon as I got there, that's the beginning of testimony. As soon as I got there, the doors were open. And then, after you have become content, then only they will come and test you with one business just opening Enugu. You see, I'm not doing. God says, he has learned. Okay. Next time, promotion comes. Bam. That's when you start doing maybe correspondent course, MSc. Then one day from there, you will be doing one PhD just 200 kilometers away. Before you know what's happening, you've collected a PhD. While you are running around, before you know what's going on, your influence is felt in every secondary school in Ebonyi State. God says, good. For this thing you have done, let me just dash you a quarter of NBL. Do you mind? He said, just a quarter of NBL. Lord, it's okay. A quarter is back. Make it 1/8. I'm all right. Then one day you buy. Look, since you like, look, God has nothing against giving you fanciful and beautiful things. Then one day you buy a very big, fine Mercedes-Benz, like the type I intend to buy one day. Then people will start probing you to check whether you chopped money from secondary school purses. And then like Daniel, they will find that in all the affairs of the king, there was no negligence or evidence of corruption. Then you will tell them like our president, they should have come to ask me instead of doing all this problem. I've told them that is how God did it. And you know the interesting thing? You will become another success story. When things are bad in a big city, move to a smaller one. It's a lie. You understand what I'm saying? It is a big lie. It's a lie. They start telling stories. Now, the principle of increase is to go down first. You understand? This man moved from Enugu to Abakaliki, and then he was an entrepreneur. Then he became a civil servant. Just. I've always said it. What God rewards openly is always done where? In secret. What God rewards openly is always done in secret. If you observe the life of a man from a distance, meaning you cannot see the secret things of his life, you can never understand the principle behind his success. You can't. What God will report word openly will always be done secretly. Do you get the point? But then, when you have done that, God will be rewarding you for establishing his kingdom in that place. But most men, you know what they run after? What shall we eat? What shall we drink? And wherewithal shall we be clothed? So they depart away from the reason God will have used to give them what they shall eat, what they shall drink, and wherewithal with what they will have been clothed, they will have clothed themselves. They depart away running after the food, the drink, and the clothes. Do you understand my point? That God said, I give it to the birds, they don't pray about it. I give it to the flowers of the field. They don't hold night vigil. You know, I have warned you again and again. Night vigil for food is madness. You understand what I'm saying? Prayer meeting over cloth is. What word can I use? Let me just leave it there. You understand what I'm saying? I will not say beyond that. that your prayer should be... I mean, one example I like about prayer was Kenneth Hagin. He will tell you that does this every day, twice a week, he will be praying, God, what am I supposed to do next? You understand my point? That it appears like something is not exactly together. So he's praying every day. What will I do? What will I do? You know, I was saying the other day that some people who practice faith, they want to practice like Kenneth Hagin. They want to claim anything they want. Why? Because Kenneth Hagin said that one day, Jesus spoke to him that just calculate what you need for the week and claim it and you will get it. And he always claimed it and he always got it, which is not a lie. The man was given a valid testimony. I said, but they forgot one thing. The man never claimed $1,000, not once. He always used to claim $200, $250. Are you getting what I'm saying? And he had a bad car and bad tires and bad things. He was not claiming money for a new car. He was living in a small house. He did not claim money to buy maybe the former house of J.P. Getty. He didn't even claim money to buy a big house. What am I saying? You will notice that before God gave him that word, he had observed him. He had proved him. He had tested him. He had called him. He had chosen him and had proved that the man was faithful. So he gave him a word. So it never entered his heart to be claiming things that are lofty. But boys who have not been faithful to God in anything, they say, wow, we are children of the same Father. Hallelujah. Amen. I told you before that before you enter into certain positions of authority, God walks you through certain places. He said, can you pass through what I'm about to pass through? Can you drink this cup I'm about to drink? There are things you must drink. There are places you must walk on before God gives you any degree of authority. Stop just claiming what somebody has claimed he did. So the little boys come to claim the same thing. Then they start their own. See that S-class that the governor dressed beyond here, anytime he's passing here, I claim it next year. And they go around giving testimony. I now have an S-class Mercedes Benz. He said, where is it? He said, ah, Young Icho said, I'm pregnant with it. That is what a man should pray about and be claiming. Is God, where am I supposed to rule over? Where is my position of authority? The film industry we're talking about? Give us an example. That God will not, no matter how much you pray, God will not close 51 away Cairo. He won't close Hollywood. Because God ordained that movies should be made. Believe me, I know you don't like that, but it's a fact. God ordained that movies should be made. And since the rest of you would rather be making Jesus of Nazareth, no problem. The other people will be making serious movies. So it's a simple thing. All you make is John and Mary. Oh, fine. Joseph and Mary. Fine. Keep on making Joseph and Mary. Jesus, God has no problem. But he won't give you Hollywood. All the stories you want to tell on your this thing is, you know, I hope people can pardon me to say this. You know, sometimes when I'm watching some TV stations, I actually get upset. I'm sorry to say, I hear too much Christianese. You know what I'm saying? People don't mean they are not serious. Oh, brother, welcome to the program. Praise God, praise God, praise God. You should the Lord, oh, God bless you. The Lord was just speaking to me as I was about to enter. I just get upset. I just put off the TV. I said, look, are you telling me this how you live life or because you're not on TV? I want to speak the proper Christian language. That's why God won't give you CNN now. Because you will come and say, praise the Lord, the Lord came to Iraq today. How? There was an explosion that killed one of the radicals. That's the Lord coming to Iraq. I get away. No, people won't do serious things. They use religion to kill everything. Research into vaccine. No. The just shall live by faith. Okay, since the whole world is not just now, should they be dying? You don't know, in our church, we don't take drugs. We don't. So, I've seen people tell me that, this is not somebody told me that somebody said. Right in front of me, she said that she has taken admission to a teacher training college and neglected the one to the school of nursing because in their church, they don't take medicine. So, why should she become a nurse? I said, well, at least you agreed to go to school. In your church, they did not say you shouldn't go to school. Because no, there are churches who say you shouldn't go to school because Jesus is coming tomorrow. What should you be doing? Fine. Why should you be in class? Restoring jurisprudence when Jesus is coming tomorrow. Are you going to argue case in heaven? Because Jesus is coming tomorrow, you have to live ready. And the living of readiness is to wear bathroom slippers and stand on the road like Oliewere, saying that, behold, the kingdom of God is at hand. Sorry, Were is Yoruba word for lunatic. You know what I'm saying? No, there are people like that. You don't know. This one, I saw somebody tell me.
So God knows that if left to people like you, we will never have discovered the pasteurization of milk. You know what they call pasteurization of milk? Tuberculosis used to be spread mostly through milk. Until Louis Pasteur found out that it's very simple to cure it. Just incubate the milk at 60 degrees for 30 minutes. Everything is dead. And that was the end of tuberculosis being spread from cow through milk. Do you get the point that I'm making? I mean, so smallpox was killing everybody. But men walked until WHO declared that smallpox had been eradicated. The only smallpox left is hidden in WHO vaults in Switzerland. You know, they did the same thing with polio. This man that started, I'm not very sure of the name, but what I want to tell you is true gist. Either it's Salk or Sabin, one of the two of them, there are two kinds of polio vaccines that were used. The first one was injected. But one of those men, either Salk or Sabin, at a point in time, I heard that policemen were guarding him. Why? Because the man was researching into the vaccine and they understood that polio is easy to eradicate. There was a time it was eradicated in Western Europe. Completely, they were sure that there was no case of polio anymore. But because of migration, people traveling, so from Eastern Europe, from Asia, from Africa, people still go there. So they have to keep on doing immunization. All this campaign on eradicating polio, that's where it started from, because they understood that polio is only found in people. That is, the virus must be inside somebody. He has no what we call intermediate host. He cannot hide inside a cockroach while waiting to catch the next human being or mosquito. It's from one person to the other. So if you immunize enough people, it will die a natural death. Do you understand my point? So one man who was working on the research, their government found out that before one terrorist comes to kill the man for nothing, they mounted guard around him. That is, he is a light of the world. Do you get the point I'm making? That he that follows this man will not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of deliverance from polio. You know the interesting thing? Most of those men were believers. The light of God in them, that was how he shone. We only like to read stories of John Alexander Darwin. We like to read stories of Smith Wigglesworth. And our faith is stirred up, and we think that is all there is to the work of the ministry. Were it not for Mary Slessor, they will still be slaughtering twins in Calabar. No, be so. No, but we'd rather have be all of you on this side fall down under the anointing. Hey, she's heavily anointed. Then after they fall down, all that happens is that they close dead, get dirty. They go home, go back in sin and iniquity and in lack of productivity. Listen. He said, while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Simple English tells us what he's saying, therefore, is after I have left the world, I am no longer the light of the world. Is that not what he said? But he said, you are the light of the world. Arise, shine, because your light has come. That when darkness covers the earth, you need to arise. When sickness covers the earth, arise in your own position of responsibility. Stop trying to be a preacher and lay hands on people. You can make healthcare cheap and affordable. There is nothing wrong with going to hospital. The ones who will not get healed by laying on hands, let them go for surgery. You know, I was discussing with somebody yesterday. To do a CT scan, well, you know what is a CT scan? Those who know, a scan is a powerful kind of x-ray. You do a CT scan, all right? To do a CT scan is generally around 50,000 naira. Now, if you're going down the staircase and you fall and you hit your head against the wall, and that happens in America or in Europe, they don't think about it. As soon as you get to casualty, well, how are you? Did you lose consciousness? No, well, I fainted for about a minute. The doctor doesn't even waste time. He just, for scan, they'll go and put your head inside the machine, check that everything is okay. Say, you are all right. You can go home. But in my country, Nigeria, oh God, the medical student will take you learn lateralizing sign to check whether you are bleeding to the head. You can't go home. How can you go home? When he's not sure you are not bleeding. So they will be checking you every 2 hours to check whether your pulse is coming down, your blood pressure is going up. They will do everything. And if after one day, they say, it looks like you did not injure your middle meningeal artery, you can go home. What am I saying? A lot of people that need it never get it. It is too expensive. an average person cannot pay the cost after working for 3 months and not eating from his salary. So the doctor doesn't worry. He tries every other thing. God is not saying that is the best way of healing people. Yes, anointing is good. You understand? But there are those who won't come near where anointing is. God didn't say they should die. They need a CT scan. Somebody can make life so easy that, as usual, as it is usual in other parts of the world, here also it is usual. The man just goes, you send him for a CT scan. I was discussing this a few days, and he pained me that if you have a, most people who have head injuries in town here die without having a simple CT scan. They cannot afford it. There are two ways you respond to challenges like this. My friend Topsy will say, necessity is the mother of invention and the father of corruption and the instigator of defection. But the godly way to respond is to invent. Do you understand my point? The people respond different ways. Some will say, you see, Nigeria is bad. We are going to Europe. We are going to South America. We are going to North America. We are going to United States of whatever. But others say, no. It does not have to be like this. And God said, if you talk like that, I will give you the power and the authority to rule in that place. Do you get what I'm trying to say? This is what the light of the gospel does for you. It awakens, literally, that giant within you. It's not just talk. That is why men are saying that it cannot be done. You say, why not? That is the killing of Goliath. Do you understand the point I'm making? It's not to wake up and say, ah, in those countries, they don't have giants. God said, no, I have anointed you with the spirit of David. Go there and kill the Goliath. You know what the anointing of God, what the word of God does for you is to stir that thing up in you. That where men faint because of what their eyes are seeing, you straighten up and raise up your shoulders and say, my salvation is near. Do you get what I'm trying to say? That's where people say things are bad. You say, yes, I know, but I can make them good. No, that's what the gospel does for you. It literally makes you the head and not the tail. And like I always say, the tail has never wagged the dog. That is, if you claim to be the head, circumstances must not be driving you up and down. You should stand and face circumstances and listen to this. This is what is called the power of grace. There's something we read earlier where we talk about those who have received the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness, that they will reign in life. God is not saying that you will use your strength to do this. Let me read this one and we'll close with it. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. Let me start from verse 17. Is there otherwise you may say in your heart that is God did all these things to humble you and test you to do you good in the end? So that you will not say in your heart, my power and the strength of my hand made me this wealth. He said, but you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who is giving you the power to make wealth, that he might confirm his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. This is the point I want you to understand here. If you remember, when we read from Romans chapter 5, he said that those who have received us, verse 17, those who have received the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness. The point I want to get to you here is this. When it talks about grace, and then Deuteronomy chapter 8 says that God gives you the power to get wealth. That is, the thing might look difficult to everybody, and indeed it is difficult. God is not saying that you have the power to overcome it in yourself. He's saying that if you stand to overcome them, then I will rise up inside you and overcome on your behalf. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That is, yes, there's no capital. God said, just start. Make up your mind. This is what I want to do. Then I will cause men to give capital to you. Do you understand the point I'm making? And listen, this is not love offering we're talking about. That is, the man will say, this is good business, an investment. And he will invest money in your idea. And that idea that he has given you is what the Bible calls the power to get wealth. Next time I'll talk about that. The power to get wealth. That is, there's something God will give you. Look, it's not just a matter of, I have an anointing in me that's attracting wealth. No, that is, God gave Bill Gates Windows, and that was his power to get wealth. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is, God will give you ideas on how to do things, and those ideas constitute your own power to get wealth. Power to get wealth is not abstract. Like once I just put my hand inside water, it just turns to precious water. If I put my hand into clay, it becomes precious gold. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about you will see one idea to use that water to do something good. And that idea is what is called your own power to get wealth. A man who doesn't understand it like Bill Gates will say, my own ideas, my own strength has begotten me this wealth. God said, no, it is me that gave you that idea. Are you getting what I'm saying? We'll continue that from there next time. Let us pray. Our Father, we give you thanks because of...